Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AskMe People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Fantasy Throwdown Podcast.
Bringing you the latest from the world of sports, DFS, and gambling. With over 5 years of hot takes and millions of downloads later, I guess he's been doing something right. Now, sit back and listen to one of the sharpest minds in the game. Here's your host, Dwayne Callender.
Welcome to the show, everyone. We have week two of the NFL season upon us. Yeah, there was a lot to unpack with week one, but by and large, week two, we should get a little bit more uniformity with these teams settling in. Obviously, no one's really playing preseason that aggressively anymore, so there was a lot of rustiness out there, what we saw last week. So I expect to see a little bit more stability between the teams this week, but some teams just look so far behind the curve, it still may take a while for them to catch up. So, we're going to try to target where we can in terms of the spread picks and just in terms of when I look at this DFS slate, you know, we've got a number of matchups that don't really bode well for certain teams. So I think we could probably be upfront with the fact that I think we're going to get quite a bit of parity in terms of where it's lining up as. It's like, you know, if we're being honest with ourselves, there's going to be plenty of plays this week in terms of guys you can go to. It's like Patrick Mahomes has a passing game again. So there's a very real chance that Mahomes is going to be one of the highest owned players on DraftKings and FanDuel. DraftKings, Mahomes is 7K, which, you know, he hasn't been that low in quite some time. And with the emergence of Xavier Worthy, you already have Rashee Rice. Obviously, there's Kelsey. A matchup against the Bengals where we expect the Bengals to be a lot better than they were last week. So there's a chance with that being the game of the week, there's going to be some points there. But, I do think there's going to be quite some interesting matchups today that we can kind of target. So with that much being said, let's kind of talk about some of the plays that I'm looking at from the quarterback position. So we're going to start off with Dak Prescott. You know, Dak at home, even if the Cowboys lose, Dak's still going to put up points in some of those kind of contests. Home favorite. And, you know, if we look at the stats from last year, Dak was over 24 fantasy points in 5 out of 8 home games. And, you know, this sets up as a favorable matchup against the Saints, who are going to be aggressive. in terms of their defense. So there should be plays down the field for Dak to attack. We know the Cowboys don't have much of a rushing game with Zeke being a fossil at this stage. So to me, Dak Prescott at 6.7K makes a ton of sense. Obviously, there's going to be interest in Mahomes at 7K. Folks, I can see talking up, it's interesting that Jaden Daniels is getting some buzz this week. You know, ideal passing situation where the Giants funnel defense. Daniels had 6.2K. Terry McLaurin was not featured as much last week by Washington, so he should have a favorable matchups. I'm just not. I don't necessarily love the spot as much for Daniels as a rookie. You know, it's still early. They're settling in. They're going to try to slow things down for him. So I think they're going to still focus more on the running game with Austin Eckler and Brian Robinson Jr. and mixing up between the two. So I think it's going to be a lot of dump offs and handoffs. I don't think they're going to stretch Daniels yet just to keep taking multiple shots down the field. But for a GPP play, I get the Daniels play with McLaurin stacking them together. I'm just not necessarily leaning in that direction. That's just kind of where I stand there. The other matchup that I look at is Rams and Cardinals. I love this matchup as from both sides. Like, I know Stafford doesn't have rushing upside, and he's going to need to get through the air. But realistically, Puka Nacua out, they're going to lean on Cooper Kupp heavily, along with Kyron Williams. You saw what Tyler Johnson was able to do last week. DeMarcus Robinson had some catches as well. Stafford is going to spread this ball around. They're going to run with Kyron Williams as well, but they are going to keep this balance. So, yes, the Rams may have some injuries on the offensive line. I still think they're going to shred this Cardinals defense. And on the flip side, Kyler Murray should be able to get some points as well with scrambling and being on the flip side of this matchup where the Cardinals are going to be chasing the Rams in terms of points and kind of using his rushing upside and scrambling ability while also throwing the ball around. So you got Trey McBride. Marvin Harrison Jr. didn't have much of a game last week, but, he still have plenty of talent to tap into there. And then you have Cheap East and Greg Dortch in the mix there from a balancing standpoint. So I think the Cardinals make a ton of sense as well. Is like between the Rams and the Cardinals, that's my favorite game to target this week. I'm more on the Rams side, but I can easily get there with the Cardinals. So it's like, I'm not even worried about the Cardinals not being able to put up points. So I think it's going to be an interesting game in general for fantasy purposes to kind of target and get behind, because the pricing is very cheap. And from an overall standpoint, we have very cheap running back options this week. So you can pay up for a quarterback and wide receiver, because at the running back position, I mean, I don't even think you need to get crazy with this. You know, no Christian McCaffrey. So you just slide in Jordan Mason in the 5.2K. Like, you know, this is just a straightforward play. It's like he's the free square. Everyone's going to play Jordan Mason, but why would you even risk deviating from Mason when you know the 49ers are still going to run the ball? It's not even a question. Against the Vikings, they're going to run the ball, and it's going to be effective. You saw what they did against the Jets. He had 28 rushing attempts and 147 yards. I think they're going to keep feeding him until McCaffrey gets back. And with McCaffrey on IR, it's going to be Mason's show to lose. And so they're going to keep feeding him. Also in that 5K range, you've got J.K. Dobbins who had an excellent week run, week one with 135 yards on the ground. And at 5.4, a weak Panthers team, it's like they got demolished by Alvin Kamara and Jamal Williams. Dobbins is in play. You also have Gus Edwards, who's getting snaps here with the Chargers. So, you know, don't be afraid of playing either Chargers running back. Dobbins is getting the bigger share, but, you know, it's not the craziest thing in the world. So it's cheap there. I look at Tony Pollard at 5.9. So I have 5,900 Tony Pollard. Jets, short week, tired defense. They got brutalized by the 49ers. And, you know, you're coming into a game where everyone's expecting the Jets to beat the Titans. But if the Titans keep this thing close and muck it up and just keep grinding on them with Pollard and Tajay Spears, it's very easily the Jets are going to give up another 100-yard rusher in less than a week. So I like Pollard as well. Sure, you could spend up for Kyron Williams at 6.8K. Like I said, I told you I loved the Rams this week. You also have James Conner at 6.4K. I like the game. So I have no problems with either back here in that 6K range if you mix and match. I'm not as enamored with paying up to 7K for Alvin Kamara because I know the Cowboys' rush defense can be difficult for running backs to go after. So it's not my favorite spot to pick on, but you know, I could see the path. And then everyone's looking at Breece Hall with 82% of the snap share for the Jets in a bounce back spot. You know, if you believe the Jets are going to smash Tennessee, Breece Hall is more than likely going to have a monster game between the checkdowns from Aaron Rodgers and the carries he's going to get during the game. Like the Jets, even in the short week, will still lean heavily on Breece Hall in that type of game environment. In terms of receivers, there's so many options this week. Again, because of Nacua being out, I mean, you've got the cheapies on the Rams to just plug in and make life easy for you. Tyler Johnson is 3,300. DeMarcus Robinson is 4K. You got Rashid Shaheed for the Saints in a matchup against the Cowboys where you know the Cowboys are going to gamble on defense. He could easily catch a deep pass and take it to the house. You saw it last week, so his big play potential makes a ton of sense. Andre Iosivas for the Bengals, still cheap. I mean, he played 100% of the snaps for the Bengals last week with T. Higgins injured. And, if Ja'Marr Chase is still getting limited snaps, you know, Iosivas is still playing on a ton. Yes, the Bengals looked terrible last week, but if he's getting that much work, 3,800, it's like, I'm going to take that. It's like a... I already mentioned Dortch at 4,600 and Michael Wilson 4,300, like definitely in the pool. Like there's so many cheap options this week that you can get to CeeDee Lamb at 8,800 and Cooper Kupp at 7,600. Cooper Kupp at 7,600 is criminal, but I don't think when the lineups were made pricing wise by DraftKings, Nacua's injury wasn't known yet. So like he would have been priced at 9K. If everyone, if the pricing had to come out before the conclusion of Rams Lions. So realistically, like Kupp is like 2K cheaper than he's supposed to be, you know, given the injury situation. So I think it's just a no brainer that you have to be playing Cooper Kupp. If you want to get different from GPP, makes sense. But like for cash games, There's no getting around it. Like Cooper Kupp has got to be in your lineup if you're playing cash games. So pretty straightforward. But as I said, there's a lot of differentials you can go to from a GPP standpoint with your stacks and managing your QB. So quite a bit to like tight end. Again, because of how cheap you can get the wide receivers, you can pay up for tight end. Laporta, 6,300. Had a decent share of the snaps last week for the Lions. Not a huge game, but a decent share of the snaps. Kelsey, you know Travis Kelsey. I mean, come on. I don't need to tell you in big games what Travis Kelsey can do. 6,200 makes a ton of sense. Trey McBride, 6K. I told you I love the Rams cards game. I'm going to have plenty of Trey McBride in my lineups and probably in my main. There's just a number of ways you can go with up top with pricing. George Kittle, quiet game for the Niners, but 5,500, always in play. The Ravens situation is very interesting here. You have Mark Andrews at 5K and Isaiah Likely at 4,800. Andrews had 74% of the snaps, but Likely played in 66% of the snaps. And because the Chiefs ran bracket coverage on Andrews, it left opportunities for Likely to have a monster game because of the matchups he got. It was Likely against the linebackers, and he won that handily against the Chiefs. So he had a monster game. It was one of the biggest waiver wire pickups across the board in fantasy this week. There's no reason why Likely can't put up those numbers again because of the fact that with two tight end sets, Andrew's going to draw attention. Likely's going to draw attention, but you're probably still going to look at Andrews more. And the Raiders, again, are not a very good team. So I think, you know, in a blowout scenario, you're still going to see Likely out on the field more likely. I was going to make the pun. Is probably going to be out on the field more often than Andrews in a blowout script anyway. So, plenty of routes you can go to. I think, you can play around with some of the punts, like Tyler Conklin at 3,500. I don't like it as much against the Titans, but I can see there if you want to play him in jet stacks. Kobe Parkinson for the Rams, 3,100. I will definitely have Parkinson in my lineups as well as I balance out my Rams stacks, but plenty of ways of attacking the tight end position. And then for a cheap value play, you can play Luke Schoonemaker for the Cowboys because of Jake Ferguson being doubtful. It's so highly unlikely that Ferguson plays for the Cowboys today that Schoonemaker is going to be a tight end one. Now, is he going to get a lot of work? Probably not, but at least it's something to consider with your builds this week. So, again, there's a number of different ways you can approach it, but I definitely think there's more than a few ways of kind of putting together your DFS lineups. And then from a defense standpoint, you know, the Jags at 3,100 against the Browns. The Browns were such a disaster last week that there's still a very real chance that you're going to get multiple turnovers from Deshaun Watson today. If Deshaun Watson is as disinterested, or I don't know what else you can call it for him. Like, he just didn't look like he wanted to be any part of the game last week. The Jags could easily have a monster fantasy day at not a very expensive price tag, like at 3,100 on DraftKings. So, that'll do it for the DFS breakdown for week two. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to get into the spread picks for the week. But stick around, folks. More to come.
Don't go anywhere. The Fantasy Throwdown Podcast will be right back after our sponsors pay the bills.
Folks, our personal data is being distributed constantly, every day, without us ever doing business with a company. Data brokers are collecting people's personal information to sell it to any number of companies. They are gathering data from public records, databases, and your online activities and use it without you even knowing it. These guys have your name, address, email. And if you ever wonder how spammers keep getting your phone number, the answer is data brokers. So what can you do to protect yourself from this nightmare? Incogni steps in to repeatedly scrub your name off of any database tied to these guys, as long as you're a customer. They go through the hassle of engaging with these companies so you do not have to keep going through an endless chain of unsubscribe requests that go nowhere. Go to incogni.com and use discount code FANTASYTHROWDOWN for 60% off an annual membership. That's incogni.com/FANTASYTHROWDOWN for 60% off an annual plan. Let Incogni help ensure your data privacy today.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask New People, AskNewPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Welcome back to the show. Hope you got your popcorn ready.
All right, Kelly. We've got this week's set of games. Let's get right down to it. We've got Baltimore hosting the Raiders traveling cross-country 1 o'clock game. Ravens favored by 9.5.
That's a lot. Now, I know that the Ravens are going to be in a really bad mood after that game the other night. And they probably pile it on, you know. It's a lot, but yeah, I take the Ravens. I take the Ravens to cover that, you know, because I don't really think the Raiders are that good, you know. Watching what I saw last week, yeah, I know the defense is gonna keep you in a little bit, but. I don't really think the Raiders are that good.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's we got a couple of these West Coast teams traveling cross country, so I just don't like the spot for the Raiders. Baltimore needs a win, and I just think they just pile on the points and just this feels like one of those get right spots for the Ravens where they just boat race the team and it's over by the third quarter.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt that.
Moving on, we've got the Chargers traveling again cross country to play Carolina. Carolina, a 5.5-point underdog at home.
I don't even know if any spread is too big for Carolina the way how they played last week.
Carolina looked so bad that I don't, because I know Carolina played the preseason games, it just feels as though this Carolina team is that bad that Matt Rhule and everything else they did to deconstruct that lineup, they may end up going through a couple of coaches before it's all said and done, because that start was as poor as it gets to begin the year. As even though the Chargers didn't even look that great, and I'm compelled to take them at 5.5 because of how bad Carolina looked.
I'll take them. Look, let me tell you something. Carolina has so many problems from the owner. I mean, he's a big part of it. Huh? He's a big part because he's one of those meddling owners who knows nothing and thinks he knows everything. You know, so that's part of the problem, you know. And looking at the Carolina, I mean, you coming up against Khalil Mack, I mean, to me, the quarterback, I think right now, he's hearing footsteps. I definitely think he is going to be like jumping, you know, out of his skin. You know, because if you watch how he throws some of those balls, I think he's expecting to get hit. He just, you know, gets rid of it quick.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah, I think, like I said, they have problems from top to bottom.
And the biggest thing is that I still haven't even been able to evaluate Bryce Young correctly because of how bad the team has looked as a whole. So even though Bryce Young hasn't even looked good, I still have a hard time just pinpointing, you know, if he's like just that bad as a QB just because of how poor the roster construction is around him.
But and why I tell you that they have problems from top to bottom. I remember when they got rid of Matt Rhule and Wiltz took over. And he had that team playing, at least they were competitive. And I thought they should have just left it in place there. You know, because you had a young roster and, you know, they said, I thought they should have left it. And they didn't. They went out looking for, you know, different, you know. So, it is what it is. It's going, you know, right now, that team, I don't even know where to start with that.
Yeah, I mean, Frank Wright was...
The whole team, the owner, the coach, would they allow you to do that?
I don't know. There just seems to be a whole lot wrong with Carolina, and I just can't feel remotely positive about any development unless I see a pulse today. I need to see at least a pulse from Carolina before I can back them in anything. So I'll just take the Chargers side of the equation for now, because I at least know what Harbaugh's going to do. He's going to roll up his sleeves and dare you to actually beat his team and be physical. Carolina didn't even want to make tackles against the Saints last week. That's how bad it was.
I can't help but agree with you. I don't see anything that you can even base like maybe this or maybe that. There's nothing there.
Yeah. All right, moving on. We have the Packers with. Well, we don't actually know if he's out, but like by all accounts, he should be out. They just haven't announced that he's out yet. So that's where the line is where it is. But Jordan Love likely to be out for this game. They still haven't announced it yet. But the Packers at home, 3.5-point underdogs to the Colts.
Who's the quarterback there again?
So the Packers have Malik Willis. Most likely, because we don't know about the status of Jordan Love, but I mean, if Jordan Love plays, I mean, with a sprained MCL that quickly, and they're like, it'd be the most reckless thing possible.
You got to be kidding me. You can't be that stupid. You can't be that stupid in game two. You know, I know you lost the first game. You can't be that stupid. Yeah, you know, not if you're telling me that you're building a team and, you know, you're looking at the future. You really can't. To me, Jordan Love should be out not even this week. I think the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, they haven't put him on IR yet. But, I mean, it's just that the Packers don't have the margin of error that the 49ers do. I get why the Packers don't want to put Jordan Love on IR, but they're playing a very risky game. You know, I think the Packers could win this game even without Love against Indianapolis. They just have to have a dominant run game from Josh Jacobs to get it done. So to me, I mean, everyone's flocking to the Indianapolis side of the equation here. I'm just not, you know, a dome team with for all intents and purposes, Anthony Richardson is a rookie. He didn't play enough as in his rookie year for me to feel comfortable calling him not a rookie anymore. To me, out in the elements, it's not a bad weather for Green Bay at this point in the year, but it's not in a dome either. Like, I don't think this is the layup everyone thinks it is, that I get a home dog at 3.5 with a decent defense. I think Green Bay has a shot here, so I'm actually going to take the stab on Green Bay because I don't think it's the layup everyone is assuming it is without Jordan Love.
No, because, look, I don't think the coach is that dumb to be putting the ball in Malik Willis's hands to win a game or anything like that for you. I mean, you have to know who Malik Willis is, you know. And like you said, I think they have enough of a running game, and you know the extended running game, which is the short pass and you run with it. I think they have enough of that, you know. I'm not saying that they gonna win the game, but yeah. I would lean on the Packers side with this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's to your point, it's like, I think they still probably lose, but I don't, like, 3.5 is a pretty healthy margin when you're on the road. And like the Colts haven't shown me enough to validate that. So I'm not going to buy into the injury hysteria that's going on with the Packers right now. All right.
One of the problems with the Colts is, are you sure Anthony Richardson is going to last a whole game? I mean, you got to put that in there too. It's not like I said, if he can stay healthy, he can be a beast. But he hasn't shown me that he can stay healthy. He gets injured at the drop of a hat.
Like I said, there's still a lot to evaluate with the Colts, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'll take those. I'll take that. Those days, like you said, I'll lean to the Packers with this one. Yeah.
All right. So moving on, Dallas hosting the Saints. Dallas 7.5-point favorites, and you know everyone gets excited about Dallas so early in the year. We were that excited about the Saints, but it's not like the Saints have a slouch of a defense. It's like 7.5 is still a healthy number, like this early in the year.
I'll take the points. You know, I know the Saints burn me a lot, but I'll take the points because we've seen this movie before with Dallas, right? We've seen this movie before. Where they jump out and they beat up people by 50 points and this is probably the new Cowboys. This is
Dak's new contract is like everyone saying Dak's new contract should help them have the confidence to beat teams more dominantly. It's like, really? Okay.
It's not that I'm a Saints fan, but I'll take that.
Yeah, it's just a little too wide.
No, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah. All right. rematch of the playoffs. Detroit hosting Tampa Bay. Detroit 6.5-point favorites. The Fighting Baker Mayfields. Can they do it? Can they cover?
They at home?
No, they're on the road at Detroit.
6.5. 6.5 is a lot here.
They're not giving respect to the Fighting Baker Mayfields.
6.5 is a lot. They're still, you know, the Tampa Bay still has two good receivers that can hurt you. Six and a half. To me, that's a lot. That's a lot.
The reason why, if this game was later in the year, I'd feel more confident taking Detroit at the 6.5 number.
Yeah.
Detroit physicality is what breaks down Tampa. But this early in the year, everyone's fresh. So to me, I don't love the number. Not that I love Tampa, but it's more the number. It's just, it's a healthy number where a fresh Tampa team with everyone having fresh legs and Baker not banged up, I think they can hang. It's like 6.5. It's
yeah,
like,
yeah, I agree with you.
If this was November, late October, November, it's like, yeah, I feel more confident taking Detroit because at least I know the injury front's piling up for Tampa. But now this early in the year, I just think it's a little too wide.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
I agree with you.
Yeah. So, whew, man. Jacksonville, 3.5-point favorites over the Cleveland Browns and whatever happened to Deshaun Watson.
Oh, my God. These are the type of game they say, can I leave this one alone? Look.
I mean, 3.5 is generous for the Jags. I mean, they didn't look great last week, but boy, Cleveland was so bad that, you know, I wouldn't want to bet this game, but I'll take the Jags to cover the 3.5 just because of how bad Cleveland looked.
Yeah. You're right there because of all the teams last week, I think the only team Cleveland looked like they might be is Carolina or the Giants. They looked bad. I mean, bad.
You know it's bad when the Browns fans are already asking for Jameis Winston to play.
I still don't understand. It's either he's not working, or you know.
I don't think Deshaun Watson's even remotely in the mindset to play football.
He might be like what's that? The one with the Raiders that took all the Raiders' money.
Oh yeah, jeez. I know exactly what you're thinking about.
It reminds me of that. As though he got the money, and he's just, you know, he might be keeping a low profile doing it, but he's just having a good time.
Jamarcus Russell, that's what it was.
Jamarcus, he reminds me of that. It's like, hey, I'm not seeing like if you're ready to play football. You know, it's embarrassing. That's what I was saying. It's embarrassing.
Yes.
The way he's looking, it's absolutely ridiculous. You know. But you know, we'll see. Yeah, I'll I'll take Jacksonville because it's like. I don't know how long again before that defense says, "The hell with it, I'm done." You know, we can't do this alone.
Yeah, I don't know
what else to say. There's no urgency out of what I saw and you know, that's why everyone's so excited about Dallas. But to me, the story wasn't Dallas. It was just how lifeless the Browns looked on offense.
You know, it's like, I have no idea what Dallas is going to do if somebody actually challenges them and, put up an offense. Because, they didn't face any of that last week, because Cleveland did nothing. I mean, absolutely nothing, you know. So, like I said, outside of Carolina, Cleveland is the worst team I saw last week.
Yeah.
You know? So, I don't know.
Yeah.
All right. So, we've got still in the 1 o'clock window. We got a big 1 o'clock window. San Fran traveling to Minnesota. 49ers still 5.5-point favorites over the Vikings.
I'll take that because we don't know what the Vikings is. I mean they played the Giants. I mean,
I don't like how you said that. Like, Giants fans, we talked about this offline, but Giants fans, I still think they believe in Daniel Jones.
Yeah, right. What a test for the Vikings.
They still believe. All right. Seattle traveling, another West Coast to the East Coast. Seattle traveling to New England. Patriots, 3.5-point underdogs at home.
Seattle actually looked pretty good. You know, they showed some fight. 3.5. I mean, New England's gonna play defense. 3.5. New England at home?
Yeah. I know you're on the fence about Seattle. I think Seattle, even with this being the classic trap game with the 1 o'clock window for a West Coast team, I just think the Bengals were that bad last week.
Oh yeah.
It's like, to me, I didn't see anything that New England was doing specifically more than the Bengals just not being prepared to play football week one, which is a damning indictment on Zach Taylor, the Bengals coach. I thought he did a horrific job getting that team ready.
Well, you know, I'm not the biggest Zach Taylor fan.
Well, you know where I stand. It's like he's one of the most overrated coaches in the league. But
yeah,
I just look at that as like, you had a rookie head coach just like pants you on national TV. And just have a counter for everything that the Bengals wanted to do. So, you know, we'll see. But I'll just take the Seattle side of the equation. Not that I am that enamored with Seattle, but I just look at it from the standpoint of New England. It's just, you know, they're going to try to sort things out, but they're not going to do anything elaborate. They're going to keep it very simple because they don't have a ton of talent to work with. So they don't have the opportunity to expand the playbook. So I think Seattle just takes care of business and they get the win. The hook makes it interesting that if Seattle misses any field goals, but I'll just take the chance that they cover the 3.5.
Yeah.
Moving on. The Jets. Short week. Lost pretty convincingly on Monday Night Football, going to Tennessee to play the Titans.
What's the line there?
Yeah, the Jets are 4.5-point favorite still on a short week. Now, the flip side is Will Levis played one of the worst second halves of NFL football you will ever see because of how they lost that game to the Bears. But I will say that first half with Tennessee's defense, the Jets have a lot of problems. Like, if they start out as poorly as they did against the Niners, Tennessee will win this game. Like, I look at this as one of those games where I'm okay with taking the home dog here because it's a short week. It was a late game. They got beat up by the 49ers. And Tennessee is still going to want to muck this game up and just play smash mouth football and run it on them. I can see the Jets defense getting tired if Aaron and the offense doesn't get it rolling early to put this game away early in the first half. If this game stays tight in the second half, Tennessee is going to win this game outright.
Oh, yeah. Pollard and them, you know, they can run it. So, yeah, I'll roll with the home dog.
Yeah. I look at Tennessee as a game where, you know, I backed them last week. It didn't work out because of how badly Levis played that second half. But to me, I look at Tennessee as a team where I'm good with betting the 4.5. I'm good with throwing in some parlays and teasers. To me, I think this line is too wide for a team like the Jets that had a very physical game Monday night to just come in and take care of business. Like, everyone's assuming that the Jets are going to roll. And it's a get right spot. And I'm like, that defense did not look like it wanted to do run defense at all in terms of managing gaps. And we know Tennessee wants to run the football. Like, we know this. So we're going to find out about this Jets team real quick.
Yeah, well, you know what I always say about that Jets defense, you know, they everybody gives them this thing that they're top 10 defense and they're top 10 defense. And I've never seen them prove it, that defense is that good. It have a lot of names on it and stuff, but since they've been saying that, when has this defense actually showed you that, you know, outside of that one game, well, two games last year, one against Philly and one against Kansas City, that defense, and it's not like if they played lights out and they couldn't, look like the Ravens defense or stuff like that. You know, they played pretty good. But to me, they get a lot of mileage out of, you know, people just saying that they're top 10 defense and, you know, whatever and whatever. I mean, if you're going to San Francisco, right? You have all season to prepare for it. It's your first game. You know what they do. You've seen them. You know what they do. How is it you allow them without their best player to dominate you on offense like that? I don't understand. If you're telling me you're that much of a defense, to me, the first game of the season, the first thing you put out there is to make sure my defense, you know, can stand up. That's the first thing. You front and foremost, we're a defensive team. You know, because you're always touting that yeah, top 10 defense and blah, blah, blah. And you get pushed around like that? I don't know. Because you can't tell me that, well, we didn't expect them to do this and we didn't. It's San Francisco. That's what they do.
Yeah.
They run the ball on you. So you got to be prepared for that. And they did not look like they were prepared for that. You know. They were never in that game.
Yeah.
You know. So that defense still gotta show me exactly who they are. So yeah, I tend to lean with you there. I'm not taking that 4.5, you know, on the strength of the Jets.
Yeah. All right. Last and certainly, well, actually I shouldn't say it may well be the least. Washington hosting our Giants. The Commanders, 2.5-point favorites at home.
It's a tie. Oh, my God. Look, let me tell you something. You know I don't like to bet against the Giants, but 2.5, I'm thinking that. You know, I'm thinking that.
Not believing in Danny Dimes.
This Giants team, you know, they look so poor. Jones looked so poor last week that I know Washington lost, but I saw some things out of Jane and that is that I can say, at least I can start hanging my hat certain places. You know, I'll take the 2.5.
All right. That does it for the 1 o'clock window. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be coming back right after this.
All right.
All right, Callie, we are back with the 4 o'clock window. Pittsburgh traveling to Mile High to play the Broncos. The Steelers, 2.5-point favorites.
Don't go anywhere. The Fantasy Throwdown Podcast will be right back after our sponsors pay the bills.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to the show. Hope you got your popcorn ready.
No determination yet if Russell Wilson's still going to play or if it's going to be Justin Fields under QB. I should say that, though.
It doesn't matter. I'll take the Steelers.
You have no faith in Bo Nix and Sean Payton. Not that anyone does either.
please.
Yeah, the Steelers defense, you know, I think we just call it a day. It's like we just give this game to the Steelers defense with a rookie QB and Sean Payton trying to figure it out. So yeah. I'm okay with taking the Steelers. The Rams traveling to Arizona to play the Cardinals. Rams 1.5-point favorites.
That's a gimme. Watching the Rams last week, 1.5, yeah.
Look, the Rams. The weird part about this game is that the betting markets keep shifting to Arizona, and I'm trying to. It's like I know Puka Nacua is hurt, but Cooper Kupp should have a monster day. Unless you're telling me everyone on the Rams got injured and Stafford's hurt. Like, the Rams should be taking this game. It's like Arizona's defense still has a ton of issues. The Rams should be able to move the ball on the ground and in the air. Like, I'm not seeing what the issue is with the betting line. So I'm very curious about why this money's coming in on Arizona, because
Arizona have the quarterback and the running back. That's it.
Well, I mean, Trey McBride has looked good in the tight end spot, and they have Marvin Harrison Jr., but it's like there's still a lot to like go through here, wherein they got to figure out a 60-minute game plan to put, because the Rams should be able to score 24-plus points on this defense. So you're telling me it's like, essentially, I need the Cardinals to score somewhere around 27 to 30 points today, and I'm not convinced of that yet. So
I'll take the Rams.
So yeah, I'm good with taking the.
Knowing if you know, unless Stafford can't play.
But that's the thing. It's like Stafford's been fine for this injury. So that's why I'm just very curious about the betting lines, because this one was just a weird one where I saw the line and then I'm like, okay, so the line should be shifting towards the Rams throughout the week. And it's like, no, it was going more towards the Arizona side. I'm like, I'm not seeing it. I am not seeing it.
Oh, no, I don't understand that.
All right. And then our game of the week, Kansas City hosting the Bengals, the Chiefs, 6.5-point favorites against Joe Burrow, whom everyone is writing off for dead with the wrist.
Look, I'm taking the Chiefs, but he keeps saying that he only rubbing the wrist because it's a nervous thing and he does it and whatever, whatever. But you're not playing like that's what's happening. You know, because from the beginning, from the coach right back, they did not look like they were ready for football. You know, and I know everybody says that, you know, they're the Chiefs, they beat the Chiefs because the style they played, you know, it's, you know, it worries the Chiefs and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But, you know, I got to see that. You know, I'll take the 6.5.
There are two teams in the NFL I was worried about this year when playing the Chiefs. The Raiders and the Bengals. The Raiders, because they made fun of Patrick Mahomes in the preseason. And you know the Chiefs always keep receipts. And the Bengals, because you know the Chiefs keep receipts and everyone keeps talking about Burrowhead. Like, to me, this seems like the game where the Chiefs had it circled early on that they want to make sure it's clear that they're not worried about Joe Burrow either. So I look at this where if the Bengals had more time for this game to get ready for it, I feel more than comfortable betting the Bengals side of the equation. My worry is, they were so unprepared last week that I can't expect them to make that full 180 to be ready to play the Chiefs, because everyone's like, well, maybe it was because they thought it was a walkover for New England, so they were looking past New England. No, I can't even say they were looking past New England. They were so bad in the fourth quarter that I can't even say that they were looking past New England, because they weren't. At no point in the game against New England did the Bengals look remotely ready to play the game. Like, they didn't even have a single drive look good. I kept waiting for a drive to be put together. Like, okay, they're getting this sorted out. Like, they didn't have a single drive that was more than 8 plays. That's hard to do in the modern NFL. Like, with as much emphasis on there is on offense, they didn't have a single drive over 8 plays.
Yeah, you know when you know it's bad? When midway through the fourth quarter, you know the game was over. And it's New England you play.
Like,
you knew the game was over.
Like, that's the problem with this game. It's like, if you told me the Bengals had like week 5, week 6 to get ready and sort things out, it's week 2, you look so bad in week 1, I can't give you benefit of the doubt. It's like, we actually have some valid concerns with the Bengals. So I got to back the Chiefs here, because the Chiefs were ready for the Ravens. And I know they had this game circled as well against the Bengals. So whatever combination Andy Reid has ready, because he cooked up a couple of plays against the Ravens, I know he's got a couple ready for the Bengals too. And it's like, it is what it is. So it's just unfortunate time of the schedule for the Bengals, but I can't see the miraculous turnaround as bad as they looked last week to feel even remotely confident taking them this week.
Well, the problem, like I said, I said this last week, the problem I have with people talking about the Bengals and that they're the team to beat the Chiefs and whatever, I think the Chiefs better start, the Bengals better start worrying about the other teams, because as terrible as they looked, I don't want to run into anybody.
Yeah,
you know. It's you got to deal with the Steelers and the Ravens. I mean, I would more be worried about them than the Chiefs. You know, because the way they looked last week, like I said, you played the Patriots, and you know, it's you never looked like you were anywhere in the game at any time. That's not good. That's not good. The people have the Patriots not to be one of the worst teams in the league. I mean, come on. So it's and you look terrible against them. So I like I said, I would stop worrying about the Chiefs and worrying more about, you know, the you know, I'm looking with the rest of the league. You know. So it is what it is there. I'll take the Chiefs and the points.
Yeah. So moving to Sunday Night Football, I think this is one of the biggest mismatches of the season. You've got the Texans hosting the Bears. Texans 6.5-point favorites. Caleb Williams was not ready to play last week, and the Bears are not going to get the gift that they got from the Titans last week. I think Houston smokes this team on national TV. I don't think it is even remotely close.
Yeah, unless Caleb Williams is going to have a remarkable improvement. Yes, I said that because, you won the game. You threw for 93 yards.
I get the NFL wanting to showcase some teams, but it's just like, could you give him Caleb a couple of weeks? It's like, to me, this is more like the CJ Stroud show, because I think he's going to pile it on Chicago. Well, it's like,
I tell you what, I didn't think they thought that Caleb would look as bad as he looked last week. Like Damian Woody said, hey, this is the varsity. You know, that stuff you did, it's not going to work here. And I don't think he was ready for that. You know? So, I mean, that probably is the biggest gift of all last week, that win that they got. Because he was heading for, I mean, big time bus starters, the way he played and the way they were getting hammered in that game. To just give it back, you know, find ways to give it back. Yeah, so I don't think he's not gonna get stuff like that this week. So yeah, I think it may be a one sided affair.
Yeah. So that brings us to Monday Night Football. Eagles hosting our favorite guy in primetime, Kirk Cousins, and the Atlanta Falcons. Eagles 6.5-point favorites.
I think the Eagles are going to smoke up.
This line could be 10 to 14 points, and I still will probably back the Eagles side. Are you kidding me right now? As bad as Kirk Cousins looked last week, where he couldn't move, I can't, I think the NFL scheduled these games just hoping for the best, because I don't think they imagined Caleb looking as bad as he did last week, and I know they didn't imagine Kirk Cousins looking as bad as he did. Kirk was Michael Kirk could have been as mad about Michael Penix Jr. getting drafted where he was, but the Falcons fans were just like, I guess we're going to see Michael Penix Jr. next year. For the Falcons fans were as despondent as Giants fans were yesterday, last week, which is about as like telling as it gets, because they just looked at it and they were like, Kirk is done. It's like,
oh yeah, they like, oh, I'm trying to remember who is it that said, they say, wow, that Penix pick looks pretty good now. You know? But it was bad. It was bad. He couldn't move. He couldn't throw properly, you know. And it's not against the Eagles defense. You know, I Pittsburgh, yeah. What
people are going to argue is that you could throw on...
Might be actually better than his brother. And that's saying something, you know.
Yeah, but the thing is like, they're going to argue that you could throw on the Eagles secondary, which is true. But part of the issue was Kirk wasn't even on time with his throw. So, you know, yes, the Steelers defense put pressure on him, but like Kirk Cousins didn't look like ready. Like another guy who looked like he needed preseason reps, even though you can't really justify playing a veteran quarterback of his age in preseason, Kirk looked like he needed preseason.
He shouldn't be, you know, but yeah. He look as bad as, you know, as you, like I said,
So I'll put it to you this way. Kirk had an Achilles injury. So did Aaron Rodgers. At least Aaron Rodgers still looked ready to go, even though at times, yeah, some of the throws were low. Kirk was not even remotely close to where Aaron Rodgers is in the recovery process. That's the issue.
You would hope that he gives a better showing this week. But, you know, and then it's a primetime game. It's not like he has been that good in primetime games. So that's the other problem you're facing there.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I mean, everyone always says it's a narrative that he's bad in primetime, but it's like the stats show that the numbers aren't that great in primetime. Even against bad teams, it's like, okay, it's like he's had some decent games, but it's not like he's ever lit the world on fire in prime time. It's like, this is not, again.
He's had so games.
Yeah, it's like, you know what games in prime time Kirk Cousins looked amazing in? Dallas not being ready to play, and the Giants. Those are the games that Kirk Cousins usually... puts up numbers in prime time, but yeah, just not exactly the start the Falcons were expecting, because again the Falcons were expecting deep playoff run, like, and I thought with a QB that they could get there, but it's like Kirk just again maybe he needs a couple of weeks to like get himself in a better spot, but it's just a mess.
Let me tell you something. The way I look at it, if Kirk keep looking like this in the next couple of games, you might see Penix Jr. in the first half of the season, because he looked that bad.
Yeah,
he looked that bad, you know. And it's not like Kirk Cousins; he was never one of my favorite quarterbacks, you know, because I always say he thrives on the defense making mistakes. Because I always talk about, you know, they always talk about that throw to Justin Jefferson. First of all, the damn throw was too high. And if the defensive back had just tried to knock the ball down, it would have been, they would have had that completion. But it took Justin Jefferson going up and making a circus catch. And you're talking about Kirk Cousins, that's not a throw that you lay claim to. It's a bad throw.
Yeah.
You know?
And, yeah. But anywho, we'll see how the games go. But that'll do it for us. But we'll circle back during the games, Kyle. You take it easy.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
All right. Okay. All right. That's gonna do it for us this week. We have more coming up later as we get into the showdown slate. So stay tuned. I mean, I don't love the matchups, but you know, I think we got some clear onslaught builds coming up for Sunday Night Football and Monday Night Football. So I'll kind of give my thoughts on how to kind of go about setting up lineups in that fashion. So more to come for the week. But that should do it for the main slate. So good luck to everyone today with your fantasy lineups and bets, and stick around for next time. So see you around.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Throwdown Podcast. Be sure to like and subscribe to the show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and all major outlets.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.